A young girl and a woman have been seriously injured after a suspected stabbing in Dublin city centre this afternoon. Two other children were injured in the attack. A suspect has been detained by Gardaí.
5-year-old girl and a woman in her 30s are in a serious condition in hospital following an attack at Parnell Square East in Dublin this afternoon.
A date has been set for the trial of a man charged with the attempted murder of 3 children on Parnell Square in Dublin city. Riyad Bushakar faces 5 other charges, including assault causing serious harm, 3 counts of assault causing harm, and 1 knife offence.
Welcome to All Rise. I'm Aisling Moore, radio producer.
And I'm Frank Graney, News Talk's courts correspondent.
Day 6 of the trial heard from the first responders who arrived at the scene of the alleged knife attack. An experienced consultant said he'd never seen anything like it.
The first paramedic to treat the most seriously injured child also took the stand, as well as a doctor who rushed to the scene when she heard what had happened.
There was also more eyewitness testimony, including from the man who grabbed the knife from the accused. This is All Rise, the Riyad Bushakar trial. Welcome to episode 7, Pulseless. Lots of evidence heard today, Frank, and lots of eyewitness accounts heard this week, but the trial did move into other areas this afternoon.
Yeah, we heard from emergency medical personnel today, a paramedic and 2 doctors, and we also heard from the first Garda to arrive on the scene. He gave evidence of cuffing and searching the accused man, Riyad Bushakar.
But there were also more civilian witnesses who gave evidence of what they heard and saw. So maybe let's start there. The first 2 witnesses testified remotely from Australia. Sisters Alison and Catherine Carberry testified separately through live video links. They were visiting Ireland in November 2023.
Yeah, they actually arrived a few days before the alleged attack. On the day in question, they visited Trinity College that morning, and they were on their way in the afternoon to an Andy Warhol exhibition in the Hugh Lane Gallery, which is on the north side of Parnell Square. And as they made their way up Parnell Square East, they noticed what initially appeared to be an argument taking place across the road. Both described seeing a distressed woman struggling with a man while several young children stood nearby.
They told the jury that at first they assumed they were witnessing a domestic dispute. However, the situation quickly escalated. The woman appeared increasingly distressed, screaming, and in the tussle, they described how she was spun around and almost pulled out of her white puffer jacket as she fought to escape. Both witnesses formed the impression that she was trying to keep the man away from the children to protect them.
Yeah, and they were right. We now know that the woman was Leanne Flynn. The childcare worker was already given evidence of her efforts to protect the children from Riyad Bushakar. She was stabbed, as we know, and Mr. Bushakar is accused of causing her serious harm, a charge which he denies.
Alison said the children were behind this woman while they tussled. She said they weren't screaming, but looked shocked, like they didn't know what was going on. She said she remembered saying to her sister, "He's got a knife. He's stabbing the children." After the tussle, she said she saw a knife in the man's hand, which she claimed he used in a stabbing motion towards one of the children. She said it looked like he stabbed the child in the torso.
Her sister Catherine gave a similar account. She said the man's focus seemed to be on one of the little kids in particular. She said he had a large knife, and at first glance, she thought it was a machete. And she said he appeared to be attacking the child with it in what she described as a clear stabbing motion. They were understandably terrified. They were shocked and distressed, so they ran away.
The sisters were both cross-examined today, and it was put to Alison that she may have witnessed the man waving the knife around, and that she then added 2 and 2 together and got 5 in saying that she saw a child being stabbed in the torso. She rejected that suggestion. She said she remembered saying it to her sister, and she said it was clear from the motion of the knife.
Yeah, she insisted it was a stabbing motion, not just a case of the man waving the knife around as suggested. In her cross-examination, Catherine accepted the children were defenseless after Ms. Leanne Flynn was pushed to one side as she came out of her jacket during that tussle with the man. And she was also asked if she could exclude the possibility that the man's purpose was to terrify and intimidate by waving that knife around, not to stab. And she answered that by saying she could only state what she believed was happening, that he was injuring the child. And once she had finished giving her evidence, her link to the courtroom was closed and a short break followed.
After the break then, another witness was beamed into the court from Australia. Adam Keeley was the first Garda on the scene that day. He has since relocated to Australia. On the day of the alleged attack, he was stationed at Store Street Garda Station and was on mobile patrol with a colleague when a command and control call reported that multiple people had been stabbed on Parnell Square East. He left the station immediately and drove to the scene as quickly as possible.
That's right. And on arrival, he said he saw numerous ambulances and paramedics. In fact, he said he had never before in his career with An Garda Síochána seen so many ambulances at a single incident. He said he made his way up Parnell Square East, where he encountered a member of Dublin Fire Brigade kneeling beside a man and physically restraining that man by holding his wrist and forearm. He asked what was happening and he was told the man on the ground was the suspected attacker. His immediate concern was whether this man still had a knife or some other weapon on him. He was told that the knife had been removed, that it was lying somewhere on the opposite side of the road. He said his colleague went to investigate that. So he stayed with the man on the ground and he decided to search him. And before doing so, he said he put handcuffs on him.
Yeah, he described carrying out what he described as an initial pat-down search. He said it wasn't particularly thorough because he was still concerned there could be another concealed weapon. During the search, he found a wallet in his front right pocket with a public services card inside bearing the name Riad Bushaker. He also discovered a mobile phone lying on the ground beneath the man's left leg and a paddy-style hat beside his head.
Yes, and according to this witness, Mr. Bushaker was conscious. He was looking around, but he didn't speak to him at any stage. Paramedics then approached to begin treating him. He was taken to the Mater Hospital and this witness travelled with him in the back of the ambulance with two other Gardaí, one of whom he said was armed.
Now, the jury has already been told that Riad Bushaker had brain surgery a couple of years before the alleged attack. And that was something that came up in the cross-examination of this witness.
Yeah, as I said a moment ago, Mr. Keeley told the jury that Mr. Bushaker's hat was on the ground when he was with him. And he was asked by Mr. Bushaker's defence barrister about a bump on his head. His defence barrister then spoke about the shape of his client's head. He described a bulbous aspect to the left-hand side of it, which he said looks fleshy and swollen. He told the witness his client has had a significant portion of his skull removed as a result of that brain surgery back in 2021, and that there is a part of his brain underneath that isn't protected by the skull. Mr. Keeley acknowledged that he did have a bump on his head as far as he could tell, but to what degree he said he didn't know. And after leaving the hospital later that afternoon, he said that was his final dealing with Riad Bushaker.
The next witness called was Carlos Antonio Lopez dos Santos, a Brazilian man who moved to Ireland in 2022. He was studying English at the time, but was also working as a healthcare assistant. On the afternoon of the 23rd of November, 2023, he'd finished work on the south side of the city and was walking towards his English college on Gardiner Place. His route took him along Parnell Square East, passing the Garden of Remembrance. And as he approached the area shortly after 1:30 that afternoon, he became aware of shouting, screaming and general panic.
Yeah, he said he heard a lot of screaming and he noticed people appeared frightened, although he initially didn't know what was happening. He said that he continued walking until he saw a man holding a knife. He said he also noticed a group of children who appeared to be standing in a queue near this man. He told the jury the man is holding the knife in his right hand while using his left hand to grab the children. He described the attack as unfolding extremely quickly. He said the first child was grabbed by the arm before the man made a rapid movement with the knife. He said the attacker then immediately turned to a second child before moving on to a third child, whom he remembered was a girl.
And in relation to her, he told the jury the man dug the knife very deeply between her stomach and chest. They were his words. After seeing the third child attacked, he crossed the road. He recalled seeing adults running towards the nearby church and then witnessing a man arrive on a motorcycle. He remembered the motorcyclist removing his helmet and hitting the alleged attacker with it. At 1:37 p.m., he called 999.
Yeah, and certain aspects of his evidence were challenged under cross-examination. Mr. Bouchaker's defence barrister went through the sequence of events as he had presented them to the jury. And he also suggested that the extraordinary stress and shock of what happened, combined with later learning that children had been injured, may have caused him to convince himself that he had seen the knife enter a child's body when, as was put to him today, he hadn't actually witnessed it. Now, Mr. Dos Santos rejected that suggestion, and when asked if he expected the medical evidence to support what he had told the jury today, he said he believed it would. And with that, at that point, the court broke for lunch.
After lunch then, the jury heard from a witness who had travelled from France to give evidence.
Yes, and as it stands, we can't actually name this man. He's a young French man who gave evidence of essentially disarming Riyad Bouchaker. He was called today as a prosecution witness, but he's also an alleged victim in this case. Mr. Bouchaker is accused of assault causing harm to him. And the reason we can't name him is because at the time, back in November of 2023, he was 17 years old. He was 17 years of age when these criminal proceedings became live, when the charges were first brought. And under the Children Act, child victims and witnesses can't be named in criminal cases. So, look, he may be able to waive his right to anonymity, but without that express consent today, probably best not to name him.
Okay, so let's go through what he had to say. He gave his evidence through a French interpreter. At the time, he was 17 years old, as you say, and he was working in a restaurant in Dublin city centre. He was due to start work at 3 o'clock that day, but had set out early to ensure he had enough time to prepare for his shift. At around 1:30, while walking down Parnell Square East, he said he heard a woman screaming from the opposite side of the road to the one that he was on. He said he also noticed some children close to a man who appeared to be assaulting the woman. He said he also caught sight of what he described as an object in the man's hand.
Yes, and that object was a knife. And once he realised that, he said that he immediately crossed the road. He said his intention was to disarm the man. At that point, he said nobody else was physically intervening. He got close enough to grab the knife out of the man's hand at almost the exact same moment that another man arrived with a motorcycle helmet, which he used to hit him with. He said that he had to use force to prise at the knife away from the man before throwing it to the ground.
This witness went on to say that he then saw the attacker lying on the ground while members of the public gathered around him to prevent him from getting back up. A short time later, another man picked up the knife and he said he carried it across the road, placing it near a tree on the opposite side of the pavement. It was only after disarming the attacker, maybe 5 minutes later, that he realised he'd been injured himself.
Yeah, he didn't notice it initially. As you say, he said in his evidence today that he noticed a small scratch to the middle finger of one hand, and he believed that had been caused as he removed the knife from Mr. Bouchaker's hand. And he also described a scratch to his cheek that, again, he didn't notice straight away.
His cross-examination was brief. It focused on his observations after he had disarmed Mr. Bouchaker. He was reminded of something he said to Gardaí afterwards, that the accused appeared mentally unstable as he lay on the ground. The witness agreed with that description. He believed he looked unstable from the numerous hits he took with the helmet.
Yeah, and at that point then, once his cross-examination had finished, he was then free to go, but not without hearing a few words from the judge, who thanked him. Mr. Justice Tony Hunt then said, "We are very grateful to you." And he also told him he was not only very brave, but very modest as well.
The next witness called to the stand was another Brazilian man, Eder dos Santos. He was working in Dublin as a cleaner at the time. He was cycling home that afternoon when he heard a woman screaming from across the road as he approached Parnell Square East. He said she appeared to be protecting a child.
protecting a child with her arms, as he put it in his evidence. He said he then saw a tall man dressed in a long black coat, wearing a black cap. He said this man repeatedly stabbed the girl 3 or 4 times in the chest while facing her. He guessed the girl was maybe 5 years of age, and he said that he only saw one child being attacked. He said he got off his bike, he ran over to help. By the time he got there, he said the man was already on the ground and the knife was also on the ground, lying nearby. He said that he was worried that someone else might get hurt, so he decided to pick up the knife. He then carried it across the road before throwing it beneath some railings into a grassy area beside the Garden of Remembrance.
After all that happened and all that he had witnessed, he said he became emotional. He got back on his bike and cycled home crying. He said he later returned to the scene to give a statement. He was then cross-examined about his evidence, with the defence suggesting that the trauma of events had led to mistakes in his recollection.
Yeah, the defence highlighted inconsistencies between his evidence in court and the statement he gave to Gardaí shortly after the attack. Because in his original statement, he described seeing a white boy with curly blonde hair being stabbed. But in his evidence before the jury today, he said it was a girl. Now, he accepted that he was mistaken about the child's gender, explained that in the chaos of the incident, the child's appearance and clothing led him to believe that it was a boy. He also acknowledged that subsequent media coverage confirmed the victim was a girl. But he rejected the suggestion that he was mistaken about witnessing the stabbing itself. He told the jury that he remained 100% sure that he saw the child being stabbed repeatedly in the torso, adding, "I can close my eyes and still see it happening." And after this witness stepped down from the box, the court took another short break.
After the break then, the jury heard about the advanced life-saving measures carried out at the scene on the most seriously injured child, the 5-year-old girl that Riad Bhushikar is accused of trying to murder. Dr. Lisa Corley is a specialist registrar in paediatrics, and she was first up. At the time, she was working at the Rotunda Hospital. She said she was on duty on the 23rd of November 2023 when she became aware of the alleged attack. After obtaining permission from her consultant, she said she went to the scene with a member of hospital security.
Yeah, no doubt eager to help. She didn't waste any time getting there. She was initially directed towards an injured man, but was then taken to the most seriously injured child, a 5-year-old girl, as we know. By the time she arrived, paramedics were already treating the girl. Dr. Corley described finding her with an open chest wound. She explained that advanced emergency treatment was already underway by the time she got there, including the insertion of an airway, chest drains on both sides of the chest. She offered her assistance to the paramedics. She was briefed on the child's condition. She immediately instructed a colleague to obtain emergency blood from the nearby hospital lab. She also contacted senior consultants and other colleagues for additional specialist support. She said it was clear this child needed to be taken directly to hospital and straight to theatre as soon as possible.
And one of the people who facilitated that rapid hospital transfer was Peter Harper, a consultant who was working at Temple Street Children's Hospital. He came upon the incident by chance while cycling to a meeting that afternoon. After being told a child had been stabbed, he immediately offered his assistance. He went to the girl. He saw she had suffered what he described as a stab wound to the centre of her chest.
Yeah, paramedics were already carrying out advanced resuscitation to try and save this girl. He said that he helped by inserting a plastic breathing tube to secure her airway in order to allow oxygen to be delivered to her lungs while chest compressions continued uninterrupted. He said it was clear the blood loss had to be addressed. The girl had no pulse, he said. She appeared extremely pale. She had sustained a stab wound directly over her heart. And based on his assessment, again at the scene, he believed the most likely cause of her condition was that the knife had somehow perforated her heart, resulting in catastrophic blood loss.
He then started making calls, contacting colleagues to get an operating theatre and a surgical team in place before the girl arrived. He then accompanied her to hospital and assisted with a blood transfusion in the back of the ambulance en route.
Yeah, and he said they were very lucky that the hospital's largest operating theatre was free and available that afternoon, because he said they needed a large space. He said he stayed with the girl until she was taken in for emergency surgery. The next and final witness called then was a paramedic, a man called Connor Garvey. He was driving an ambulance towards the Rotunda Hospital that day when he was flagged down by a man frantically waving his arms on Parnell Square East.
Yeah, and he said he pulled over and he immediately saw a young girl whom he estimated to be 4 or 5 years old lying on the ground. From his initial assessment, she appeared to be in a life-threatening condition. Mr. Garvey carried out a rapid triage of the scene, and although he noticed at least two other people who appeared to have been stabbed, he concluded their injuries were less serious and directed all of his attention to the little girl. He retrieved his defibrillator, emergency medical bag and gloves from the ambulance before approaching her.
That's right. And when he reached the girl, he said that she wasn't breathing. She had no pulse. Pulseless was how he described her at that moment in time. He said that he observed a laceration measuring about 1.5 to 2 inches on the front of her chest, from which blood was slowly oozing as opposed to spurting out, which suggested to him there was very little pressure within the heart itself or that a major blood vessel had been damaged. He said he immediately took over chest compressions from another person who had already begun CPR.
As more ambulance crews arrived, including advanced paramedics with higher levels of clinical training, Mr. Garvey said he was handed a specialist dressing, which he packed the chest wound with in an effort to stem the bleeding. The jury also heard that a bag valve mask, a squeeze bag used to assist breathing, was employed to ventilate the child.
According to this witness, they treated the girl for about 20 minutes before she was placed into the ambulance and rushed to hospital. And during a brief cross-examination, then after he'd given his evidence in chief, he was asked about the confusion at the scene where people were shouting that others had also been injured. And Mr. Garvey agreed that he saw other casualties, but reiterated that the little girl was clearly the most seriously injured. And for that reason, he devoted all of his attention to her.
And that brought an end to day 6 of the trial.
It did. Again, a lot of evidence heard today, even with the regular breaks. The judge told the jurors that they are making excellent and smooth progress. The trial will sit at the slightly earlier time of 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
And we'll bring you the day's evidence tomorrow evening. But for now, that's it for episode 7 of All Rise, the Riad Bhushikar trial.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to follow us or subscribe so you don't miss any of the evidence.
All Rise, the Riad Bhushikar trial.
A News Talk original podcast.
Was hosted by Frank Graney and Aisling Moore.
Follow the podcast on newstalk.com, on the Go Loud app, or wherever you get your podcasts.